I extended the car for one more day. I'm doing this delivery and I'm sitting here. I'm like, I'm using the GPS, driving around. It's about 6 in the afternoon. And I'm thinking to myself, it's odd that the things that we humans can do in some situations not really notice. Like right now, do you realize how much your brain is actually mapping out where you are, depending on how long you're there? Do you realize that? What am I talking about? Like, you may be using the GPS, but it's only natural that you start mapping out in your brain. Like, for example, in your room, your brain maps out in its subconscious where everything is. Not everybody's acute to it, but it just has a general idea of the layout of that space unit. You do that in the bathroom, you do that in the car. Some people are better at their brain has a better, like when they said the taxi drivers back in the day used to have a cortex, their nerves would go because they would have to know the certain routes and back streets and corners and all this shit before GPS was out to be one of the best. The person with the best mapped out brain would be the one that made the most money because they knew how to get around through the city. So I'm sitting here thinking like how that's changed in this day and age because everyone just Google Maps shit. If you wasn't a local in the area you grew up at, you'd basically have to talk to people and try and figure out how to get your way around and hopefully don't get robbed. But I'm just thinking about how we right now just casually just be in an area and then if you out driving all day, like Uber drivers right now probably have that kind of. It's like I'm an Amazon driver. And today, I thought really was gonna come for this car. And today I'm food driving. Blech, I'm doing food deliveries, and then I'm doing. If I did Uber, Amazon driving. Hold on a sec. I'm staring at this idiot. I'm literally pulling up to his door with his food, and he literally just going inside. Are you coming around the corner like that, bro? Got an order here. For Grubhub, I got an order.
Oh.
Don't say somebody ordered JJ fish and chicken.
Not my son.
Charles.
Okay.
You got a drink. Here you go. Luckily, the dad was outside. He pulled in the driveway. The other ass, like, walking in the door. I'm like, can you not see? So, well, never mind. But, being the fact if you're an Uber driver, you a delivery, you an Amazon, whatever, mailman, you an Amazon mailman, and then on top of that, you do food delivery. You have, wait, Uber, Amazon, and food delivery, about the same thing with the Uber. But let's say I'm doing Grubhub. Let's say I was able to get Uber, but I can't. I don't qualify. Uber, Amazon, Grubhub, or any other food company. You have three food delivery companies and services you work for. Your brain will literally map out. Woo! That dog is bad. That dog's trying to come after this car like it's gonna do something to the car. Holy shit. Extreme prejudice, but it's like in your subconscious, you will really get to know the city very well. Like if you did all three of those jobs for 6 to 8 months for a whole or a whole year, the fact that you would always be driving, it don't have to be specifically just for dropping off people, would really actually make your brain a bit more in depth on where you at. Like let's say if you wanted just to travel city to city. You could literally, if that was possible, if they let you do that, But if you could travel city to city and do this shit, which way I came in? Damn it. I don't remember which way I came. If you travel city to city and do this shit, wouldn't be so bad. At least you get to travel and you would drive every day and get to explore the city. Whenever your day get done, you can go and find a place you want to go chill at. I hate these, you know, damn, these cars be sitting out here. They could be run down, busted, and broken and shit. And they will not get towed. Like, back when I was in Miami, they kept coming after my Impala. Like, they'll put notices on it. It'll be in the yard and all. And them motherfuckers will be like, oh, if you don't do something about da 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 da, we'll send this. I was like, God damn, why I want this car so bad? Here, these cars sit here for a month, years. They're going to be burnt to a crisp in front of somebody's driveway. They ain't gonna, I need to check them off. They ain't gonna touch the car. They don't give a fuck. Out of Miami, yo, they is on your ass. But I will say, in downtown Atlanta, they don't give you a break. They're gonna put a boot on your shit so fast. That boot will make or break what you gonna do with your life. You could be on your bare end, like, you could be on your bare minimum, and that's all you got. Your car's the only thing in your livelihood. They give you a $75 boot, and you can't pay that. You lose the whole fucking car and everything else you thought she was gonna do with your life. They don't care. They're gonna boot your shit. And that was all that was on my mind, basically. Now back to the music.
Man, I just seen this situation where this guy, Frito-Lay guy, electrocuted. Because I worked at that Frito-Lay, if you remember, if you ever actually listened way back, I worked at Frito-Lay twice. As a temp, I did it in Kentucky and I did it here in Atlanta. Almost did it in Orlando. Well, I went to Orlando to try and do it, but didn't work out. But listen to this.
I knew the sales side, I knew the operation side. I mean, hell, you could have just let me be a lead and just manage instead of physically working.
Billion-dollar corporations like Pepsi, which owns Frito-Lay, they know this is happening to people, and they do nothing about it. My husband shouldn't have to fight for 5 years over something that took less than 5 minutes to impact our entire life. He pushed a button at work, a button he can't avoid pushing. He has to push it. It's his job.
For a company that talks about diversity and culture and a family-oriented business, family don't just throw you out because you get injured.
The company makes over $200 billion a year. Okay, it's chips, but my husband is worth $0 to them because he's no longer able to push those chips.
You are a number. You're a piece of property. I bust my butt for them. Blood, sweat, tears, sacrifices, holidays, birthdays. I miss so much family things because they make you feel like if you don't do what they say, they will let you go.
I don't even know where to go from here. Honestly, all the life goals and marriage goals and family goals that we had are gone. And I just have to figure out how to survive. And my goal and hopes and dreams now is for my husband to get back healthy and still be alive with us in the future. He dodged bullets in the city of St. Louis growing up. He dodged gangs. He stayed out of all of that. He went to war. He dodged bullets and bombs. And came back to me. And now he's been electrocuted at work. We don't know what's gonna happen from day to day. My husband stops breathing at night in his sleep. I have to wake him up at night to make sure he keeps breathing. I have to help with my children who don't understand. They can't jump and play with daddy.
I mean, I just went from a very fit guy to a guy who is disabled and can barely just handle regular life stuff. I'm 36. I should be able to play with my kids in the yard.
Wow. You see that?
They are American, but...
Ridiculous.
Begin at 4:30 here with the New Jersey woman facing a slew of charges.
There's some shit right there, my guy. I haven't been there. They do actually make you feel like that. But it's not just Frito-Lay. It's plenty of companies out there that make you feel like that. Even right now at Amazon, they make you feel like that. Don't deliver these packages. you know, get him out. So it's like, even on my side, that didn't happen. On my side, I'd be just talking about how you get up, you should like the thing that you want to do. But this clearly showed me today that even though you do like it, it's that can happen. That can really just come your way. It's an early morning. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I wish you would catch these hands. What am I looking at? I'll wait for my clothes to dry. Waiting for them. I just was like, wow. You guys should hear this shit. It's a damn shame. You know what they should probably do? They should invest in another wife. So they should do. Two wives. My guy. Two wives, my guy. That way, each of them work part-time. And then you stay home and watch the kids the best as you can. I know you can barely be able to do regular stuff, but the stuff you can do. Yeah, just two part-time. One wife do Uber. Another wife work at Amazon. Hopefully she don't get electrocuted. Not to make a joke. I'm just saying, she can do delivery packages. You know, hopefully she don't slip and fall too. Just hopefully. Yeah, I'm finna go take a shower and go to work. Stay tuned.
And then on like what, after a month, you still don't want to have sex yet, and then they decide to get mad at you for that.
And what she's just said is another reason many men are learning. Because too many women make men wait for nothing. Not only that, too many women make men wait for something that's not even worth the wait. Women do this nonsense of banking on their vagina too much. And I'm gonna sound a bit crude here, but the thing is, look, all women's sex isn't good. Some of them think it's good because maybe other men have told them and whatever, whatever. All women's sex isn't good. So as a man, if you wait for it and then you realize she's wasting your time, or you wait for it and get it and you realize she made you wait all that time for this. You made me wait for this woman. It's not even worth it. If only it was this standard, I wouldn't have bothered waiting. Yes, I know it sounds crude, but from a man's point of view, men don't have that much time. You're gonna make a man wait for nothing or wait for something that's not even worth it. Please, please,
please. Please.
Thinking there's something wrong with them.
My dog says
not the case. Right, and then the same night they...
Wait, what? Hold on a second.
End up saying they want to take a break. So, basically, a guy who leads you on makes you think that they want a relationship, but they actually don't. They just want to fuck.
No. You see what she just did, men?
That's not right.
You see, what women don't realize is what she just did was probably leading him on. Because he thought he was going to get sex at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because as men with dogs, we think with our knobs. Yeah? Bark with me, men. The point that she misses is that he was led on as well. Women never see that part, do they, men? No, they just think that men have a problem. No, he was led on. His time was wasted waiting for what he probably thought was going to be some great sex. Yeah. In the end, he may have realized, look, she's going to waste my time. I may as well move on to the next one or just focus on my damn life.
Weird, right? Yeah. So there's those types of dudes, like the nice guy fuck boy takes you out on dates and all this shit and then pretends to want a relationship but doesn't.
Again, the nice guy F boy, as I've said before, is a product of modern times by modern women. The monster. The monster many of them create.
Misleads you. These days, I feel like there's men out there that are like that, and it actually kind of creeps me out because I'm just like, wow, like, you are that type of dude where you're not even transparent anymore. There's dudes that aren't even transparent. They're playing the game so much better now. Everybody is really good at playing the game.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sad, isn't it, men? Men are learning too much, thus playing the game better. Not all men, obviously. A lot of men. Good on you, men. Good on you. Keep learning.
kind of weird, kind of.
So it's like, I agree. I can't speak on the same point as him, though. But I'm going to say that it's like they're going to want to have, let you have sex with the guy that they want to and the one they want to give attention to. And then it's like, I'm sort of expecting this to go in a sort of relationship. But this broad sense of many kinds of women. Some women don't expect that because they probably expect that way back in the early days. The newer ones coming on to come around and, you know, find out what's going on and where's that. Yeah, them women probably feeling like, yeah, you getting some of this, I expect relationship. Isn't that amazing? If they think that. Okay. I'm about to head over to talk to the fellow that we work with every day. Drop the gas. I even put gas in the car. Anyway. So, I clearly know from talking to the other people here that it's not that they don't like our so-called captain on Team League, but this is undermining tone that he gives. And it's nothing race, but we're going to add in race into the situation. Like, he and my folks, they be giving it kind of like them. He trying not to act like he want to really put down.
You have to understand, for years, straight men have never had a voice. They don't have voices in their house, unless they be ass. They don't have voices in media. It's normally sports, doctor shit, but never concerning relationships. We do hella shows on relationships that have female hosts, men hosts, and they always primarily focus on women. That is the main thing that our advertisers look for here, is because women are the decision makers in the house when it comes to spending, okay? And so a lot of times when you see television shows, when you see podcast shows, when you see a lot of advertisers, they're either advertising to women or they're advertising to children. Kevin Samuels has opened up a space that was void, non-existent, for men to have a voice. He ain't calling people bitches. He ain't calling women hoes. Okay? Now, I'm being honest. I know a lot of y'all are going to be upset right now. And I'm going to tell you why you're probably going to get more angry. It's because name one male black talk show host that strictly, not Steve Harvey pandered to women, okay, that focused on the voice of a man in a relationship.
I found you, man.
A lot of people don't like him. That's okay. As another creator, I have to give him that grace, because I don't understand why my audience expected me to drag someone during an interview, and I don't ever drag people during interviews, unless you get out of line with me. But for the most part, if you are a Wino Gang Day One member, you cannot ever remember me, like, dragging a guest. A guest is that. A guest. You're in my house. You're in my space. I'm going to treat you with the utmost respect. And yes, I do agree with a lot of his views, because I did grow up with men, and this is how they talk. Now, the hard pill to swallow is, I can't believe he's saying those things. I can't believe these men are agreeing with this, because this is how these motherfuckers talk. Kevin Samuels has taken advantage of a space that had no one in it, and that's the reason why he's powerful. And the more you guys complain, the more powerful he's gonna get, because everybody's gonna wanna know why. Now, I respect the creator. He understands the game. He was very transparent. He said, listen, I've been doing this shit for years. Nobody fucking listened until I started really saying the shit that men say. And if you're over there in that chat, you're gonna see that these motherfuckers are fucking liking him, cash apping him, fucking super chatting his ass, because they are saying the very shit that they can't say to their wives that are sitting fucking next to them.
Oh, yeah. He made, that's what I'm saying. People are upset about a void, like she say. This is, do I, like, the man, he able to say in this channel, like, it wasn't on, well, actually it was. You didn't see this 10 years ago. Like, for example, me, when you hear this podcast, there's like 2 million people with podcasts, there's like 10 million YouTubers. It's always about positive shit and positive shit. This is not it. This is not this is not where that's really at. So people come across this shit, they're like, what the fuck? You mustn't lose it. Yep, driving a brick. Workers. Wow. That's different. Well, I can't. Let's see what this guy says. Because sometimes. Today's. It's 9 o'clock. 3, 12, 2 o'clock. Almost 9 a.m.
Well, you said that you talked to some of the juvenile workers that know NBA Young.
Yeah, that no. Actually worked on the dorms with him and personally know him.
Okay.
He wasn't the stepper that he is in his music. Not saying that he wouldn't fight, but he wasn't stepping. If you pick on him, he'll probably fight. If you mess with him, but no, man, that kid wasn't fighting in there. He wasn't. What he is in the lyrics and in the character that the kids think he is with the That's why you see now that he's in jail, he writing letters. Please don't leave me. Please, you see the whatever letter he just wrote, like, so you see the difference. That's the same kid that was in the juvenile system over there, homie. Now you work in the program. Now you, when the guards come by, yes, sir, you ain't in jail fight. We ain't heard about him going into the hole and cussing out the guards. You ain't heard about none of that.
Kodak Black was doing that in jail. Though.
That's what I'm saying, jail. So, so man, I'm looking. So they say, why he listen to these people? Man, that's what my kids listening to. Not my kids, but the kids I work with. The shooters, the steppers. The ones that when they go to juvenile, they on level one. They can't get to the proper fade. So I'm tuning in to them. That's how I'm learning about these new little rappers. And I'm looking at, there's a different and this kid.
Yeah.
So, as a young kid, I would have gravitated to Pooh Shiesty spirit. I come from a good home. I'm really not angry. I'm not resentful. I don't beat up. So I would have gravitated to him and been toting guns, shooting in the name of Pooh Shiesty rather than this darkness over here, resentful for your mother. He talks about it in his song.
Well, yeah. I mean, I interviewed his brother, OG3, and basically their mother abandoned them when they were like 2 or 3 years old. Just left them on a neighbor's porch.
Same, man.
Eventually got them into a grandmother's house, but it was a mess.
He talk about it in one of them songs, man, and when I listen to it, I understand now why he be beating that little girl up. Every girlfriend he get, is he violent with them. I understand now. When you listen to, when you see him act a certain way with other guys, I understand now. When he wrote that letter to his little girlfriend, please don't leave me. Woo woo, I feel like everybody, that's his abandonment issues. Man, my mama left me at 2, so now he dealing with the abandonment. That's why he's dropping that letter on social media for us to read. So
yeah.
all of these things show when you're in trouble. So what I'm saying is now we're not looking at NBA Youngboy. We're looking at whoever his real name is while he's in jail.
Yeah. Yeah. We're looking at let's look up his name real quick.
Yeah, I don't even
Kentrell Deshaun Gordon.
Yeah. So he's been held in California. The judge in Baton Rouge. Know Cantrell. He don't know NBA Youngboy. We know NBA Youngboy. We saying free NBA Youngboy. That judge in Baton Rouge know Cantrell, and now I'm keeping it. So that's when it's time to stop looking at this character NBA Youngboy and the black people, other elder black rappers, guys like Jay-Z. Guy, not that he have to, but there should be some type of conviction. Some type of conviction. Say, man, let me go reach out to this young brother. Reach out to his attorney. See what we can
put around him? What can we put in place? What kind of program can we as a community get this little gangster rapper in? Go get the other little gangster rappers. What kind of facility can we build that's an alternative to all of them going to prison at such a young age?
It's true. Damn. We fucked up in relationship situations. As you can see, the reason I play two different ones is because you hear how black men have been feeling. You got black men that's been living like this since the 90s and the 2000s growing up. Not particularly me, but that's one side of it, relationship-wise, with getting a woman and not being able to really get to being a high-value man. Then you got the other person situation on this, what real niggas and men predominantly go through. You got a mixing pot of that. Do we talk about that for the women like that in the same regard? No. Women don't always have to go really in that struggle in comparison to a man, specifically a black man. So it'll be like, damn. We need escapes. Right now, our escapes be either the music. They be trying to be doing music. Or they be trying to get into the gaming. Because it's like, nobody really care. Nobody really, really care. Or work. Spend a lot of time at work. On the streets. Entertain ourselves. Because that's the best we can do. We're not allowed to entertain ourselves.
Did it.
When did that happen?
About 3 days ago.
Oh, you got cut 3 days ago.
Which one you work at?
I'm working at the one over there by Sullivan.
Sullivan Road. Yeah. Oh, I work at the one up in there. My wife, she stayed there, so I use her address.
No problem. 2 years, so you just left?
I know they gonna
They gonna drug test you?
When I cut my hand.
Oh yeah, you said you was on weed.
Yeah, I was on weed.
It was high. Oh. A lot of people go to work high though.
A lot of people go do more than that, dog.
I know. I worked at Amazon. I worked at 4 different Amazons.
I used to take a dude 2 grams of powder and a gram of crack every morning.
Really?
What? He go in the bathroom, snort, whatever he do. Hey, look.
At Amazon, he get to work. He get to, yeah, he on it. I know.
Hey, look, check this out. Yeah. Hey, man, I'm going to relieve you, man.
Okay.
I don't know how they do it, though.
No, he get in the flow. Yeah.
Yeah, he get in his mood. That's what I'm saying. Certain people get in their circle, you know.
He used to buy that every morning, every other morning. He'll burn out at the end of the day because his body...
But see, though, look. He probably selling it too. You know what I mean? He probably selling it smoking.
He been though. Let me tell you why, because it's like, when I used to serve, between the women and the women always get drugs and always get money. And then the niggas will hover around the females with the dopest shit.
Exactly.
So she'll break them off and shit from time to time and let them get a hit. And that shit would be funny. So I know if he getting it, he'll probably break off anybody in his circle and shit. And they'll get a little bit high, but they ain't gonna make much off of it. What they say, I need to wake up. That's what they need.
Hey. Hmm. My nephew play for New England Patriots, dog.
Your nephew play for who?
New England Patriots.
Yeah.
No disrespect. He my sister.
He your sister? What?
He my sister's son, which is my only nephew.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Would you look out for him?
What did you do throughout his life? How old is he?
He 24.
What did you do for him through his whole lifetime?
I was trapping, but when I was, you know, doing my shit in the street. Listen
yeah.
to him.
Yeah.
You know him. Here you go, nephew. Skinning him down. Buying him shoes. I ain't want him to be in the street. Yeah. You know, stay in school.
Yeah.
Buying him shoes. Buying him a little video game. You know, little shit like that.
Yeah, but no. You got to look at it from... You got to look at it at where it's like... You was doing that because that's your nephew.
Right.
You're not doing it where you expect him to be, oh, you're going to end up in the New England Patriots. You're going to break me off.
Right.
So that's why you shouldn't expect him to do anything for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious, though?
I'm serious.
I mean, I don't expect nothing, but you're a millionaire, though.
Okay.
Yeah, what? Yeah, what? That nigga sent me a picture of him. Tom Brady and what's his name? RG3?
RG what?
RG3.
I seen that guy, y'all. Whatever.
He was on yacht with my 2 days. I'm gonna show it to you, my cousin's car. I'm gonna show it to you.
Oh.
I'm sorry for you.
But what he worked?
Look him up. What's up? Take me to work,
This character just jumped off the bus.
Isaiah
what?
Zuber. Yeah. All right. Let me catch right back there. I got to do a little joke. All right. I know you do. I know you do. All right. Let me hit you right back, Rumble. Isaiah Zuber. I-S-I-A-A. It should pop up.
Yeah.
Zuber. There you go.
I see it.
Let's go. That might right there. Pop on.
New England
Patriots. That's my nephew, number 19.
6 foot, 190 pounds, born in 1997.
He come out of Stevenson. Real Atlanta native, like his uncle.
But you gotta understand where it don't follow entirely. When it comes to my family, right? I'm not looking or expecting for my sister kids to be something, and then I'm gonna be like, oh shit, whatever. I used to babysit you when I was on house arrest, and you should look out for me. I don't think nothing like that, because everything that he meant to be or how they meant to live their lives is for them. I'm not supposed to look to try and get something out of their life. If whatever case may be, he that kind of person where he want to do something for you, then yeah. You 24, you say?
And I'm 46, 47.
Okay, the sister, your sister. What do you get from her?
What do I get from her?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, then that's between you and your sister.
What you mean?
That's between you and your sister.
What you mean,
though? Is she married?
Yeah.
So, them two made him and raised him. They didn't make him and raise him? Who raised him? How did you raise him?
Because my sister just got married. She been married now, but like 8 years, 7 years. She just got married.
That's not just happened.
I'm just saying, though. I've been with this dude, baby, uncle. Yeah. I'm going here, uncle. You hear me? All the way up, listen.
Yeah.
All the way up till he got 13. I did 10 years in prison. I got out when he was 23. When I got out, he was 23. He was at Kansas State. So, then they sent him to Mississippi.
Yeah.
Because they say he need to go to a South Conference to get drafted.
Yeah, to get drafted.
Right. So he went to Mississippi State, and he didn't get drafted. Check this out. God is good. One of the players for the one of the wide receivers for New England Patriots got hurt. And get what Bill Chet did. That nigga pulled up on my sister's house on Panola Road.
It was two
UConn Suburban. White man got out. You hear me?
Yep.
Bill Belichick. My nephew was in there. He said it's Isaiah there. Yeah? Hey man, I'm Bill Belichick, man. You ready to go? What's going on? You just been drafted to the New England Patriots. Look. She gave my nephew about. By 7 hours. Took him up with him. My nephew came back. He gave my nephew between you, me and you, he gave my nephew a $100,000. Man, he had to. Cause look, he bought my sister a new Lexus. And he bought that new track haul. And he got a sister, which is my niece. Yeah, he gave him about $100,000. Did it. Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm gonna be real with you, right?
Yeah.
With you going to prison, right? and you doing that 10 years, it's like, it's nothing against you and the choices you made in life. It's just for the fact that the choices that he was supposed to make in his life got him to where he at, right?
Right.
And the choices you made got to where you at.
Right.
So, it may sound twisted, but it's like, it was sort of good that you went to prison and you was away in his life that didn't affect him with the drugs and all that stuff that you was doing.
Right.
And then didn't really sidetrack him from doing what he was going to do. Because he wasn't there for the process of him from 13 all the way to where he got up where he at now. See, growing up, most kids like you see you about as tall as me.
Yeah.
When we in high school.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'1", 6'2".
I'm way taller than you.
Huh?
You said I'm about as tall as you.
Yeah.
I'm way taller than you. I'm 6'3".
You 6'3"? Really? We look about the same.
Shit, boy, look. Bam.
That's 1 inch.
1 inch? Boy, I'm 6'3".
Okay, whatever the case may be.
I'm just saying. You just, I'm going to tell you why you look tall. For the dread.
The dread?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, low haircut.
So look, my
and then I work out, so my back kind of.
My point is this: since middle school and high school, when you are a certain height, people tell you what you should play basketball, you should do this, you should do that, right?
Hey, look,
did they tell you that? First off, did they tell
I
you?
I played all sports.
No, I'm saying. Yeah. So the whole point is that yes, you did them things, but you played it, but no one can tell you and be there for you through the whole process to get you into professional. Like people will tell you, man, you should play basketball. No one is going to coach you. No one is going to train you. No one is going to spend the money and the time on you. You got
my mama, my daddy died before I got
here. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's what we go through in a sense. They'll tell you to do something and not follow through. So now when you actually make it on your own accord, people expect, man, why you ain't looking out for me? Didn't I tell you should have been a basketball player and look how you can?
Cut all the bullshit aside.
Yeah.
RG3 gave that nigga a pound of white rhino. How about that?
What?
He ain't tell me.
About weed?
Yeah, he ain't tell me.
It's
look,
just, it's weed. It's not that big of a deal.
Down here, it's $1 million.
A pound of weed?
I've been here all my life. A pound of weed is $1 million down here. I promise you, God.
Okay. More I believe it. It's not the biggest thing. I'm just saying, you see why he get to what he doing or what he doing with his life. He doing what's in front of him. You at 24, what you was doing then? Huh? Oh, shit.
Restart.com.
Yeah.